Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, let your kingdom come. Sovereign Lord, let your will be done. I trust you more than anyone. Your faithfulness like the rising sun. Spirit, come have your way in me. Give me ears to hear, give me eyes. Show me who I'm supposed to be. Cause without you I am incomplete. And I find you, I find you. When I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart. And I find you, oh I find you. When I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart. And I find that you have never left my side, even when I felt so far away. But you were always there.
Our daily bread.
Hello. Welcome to tonight's show. I wanted to make sure you could hear me do a little quick call. I am one of your hosts, Tanisha. Our other host will be joining us shortly, but thank you for tuning in tonight. Today is March 6th. It's 2024. It's 7:10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Can you believe that we're already in the month of March? Like, it feels like we just came into 2024, and now we are already in the third month of March. I'm excited about this year, even though this year seems to be flying by, but a lot of things have been going on. So I hope you're tuned in, got your spiritual ears amped up to hear what the Lord has to say tonight. But again, welcome to tonight's show. This is PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. And let's just get into the word. I was reading through my scriptures before the show started, and what I landed on is James 1, starting with verse 12. So let's go there. I'm reading it out of the Amplified. Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God is the man who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted. For when he has passed the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For temptation does not originate from God, but from our own flaws. For God cannot be tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, passion. Then when the illicit desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin has run its course, it gives birth to death. Do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and never changes. So it's telling us that when we're tempted with evil, it's never from God, right? But we can overcome that. We can persevere when tempted. We can pass the test. And then also, don't be deceived. All good things come from God. We need to be giving God the glory, and we need to know that when things start to get a little shaky, that if God is the giver of all things, then man is not the giver of all things good, right? So when things get a little rough and a little scary, don't think that the good things that you have are going to be affected when those things come from God. Because again, let's read that again. Verse 16, James 1:16, out of the Amplified, do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and never changes. Let's read that out of, let's compare it. Read out of another scripture. So let's go NIV. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That's the NIV. The New Living says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And our other host has arrived.
Grateful to be here. God bless you all. God bless you all.
Who are you, host?
Didn't you say
anything? I didn't say your
name. Any other thing?
No, when somebody's
hello, yeah, it. First time, I'm Ken.
That is Ken.
Yes, I'm, and this, this is Melody coming in. The church cat.
Mm-hmm. You
all
can hear
same,
that.
Baby.
That is our cat, Melody. She loves when we have our show. She always comes in meowing. I guess she's also putting her word in there, too.
Yeah, we live, baby. Come down.
Yeah, she loud tonight.
She on it.
She enjoyed that word.
Did you check this out? What you doing? Yeah. Okay, Melody.
Yeah, I checked it. It sounds good.
You ain't checking with the mic, though.
No, I don't plug in the mic. I let you do that.
That's up, man. get all this good equipment done in you. Good stuff.
Melody, they can hear you.
Good stuff. Well, we're here. As the word has been given, I want to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we are definitely in a time that you better, like, trust. We have always been in the time to trust God since the beginning of time. When you look at even in the Garden of Eden, when God made man, he made man to trust him, to love him, to follow him. That's always been the thing. Like, why not? I created you, you know, and we deviated from the necessary plans of God, necessary plans of God. The will of God is what we all should be focused on. Because every day we have to, when Paul talks about dying daily, we really have to die to our selfish needs, because we're always thinking about satisfying flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Satisfying flesh. Think about the course of your day. This is how you know you covered in grace and you walk in. How often do you put yourself before other things, other people? All day. Every day. You put your job. You put so much in place before the Lord. We make a lot of errors, knowing and unknowing. So that's why we can't really, we have to stay humble, guys. Like, humility is definitely the key for us to really see what God has in store during this season. Just stay humble, not afraid of what man is doing, not afraid of how Satan is using people. Never afraid, but always aware. There's a difference between being aware of something and afraid of something.
Mm-hmm.
David was aware of Goliath, but he wasn't afraid because he knew who his God is. He knows who God is. So David's still alive. I ain't going to talk about him in the past tense. Because we serve the God of the living.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about our spirits is what gives us life. This body is only moving because the spirit is in us. Oh, come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That suit ain't doing nothing on that hanger unless I'm in it. Them shoes ain't doing nothing on that rack unless you put a foot in it. These bodies is nothing without life. And we have to understand, where did it come from? You can't look to science and depend totally on science. Science has to be proved. Science has to be explained. Who made science? Science just shows how marvelous God is, how detailed he is, how to the point he is, how much he cares.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows you, like, what was he thinking? Like, what was there for? Because his ways ain't our ways. His thoughts ain't our thoughts.
Right.
You know? But we need to recognize him, be aware of him during this time, and enjoy serving him. Because that's the whole point. We want to spend eternity with him. So it's like, that's what we need to be doing here in the earth. Making sure that we better prepare ourselves, that every day that we give, we are gaining more and more heavenly rewards. We are positioning ourselves to help somebody, man. You can't go all day and not help somebody. Whether it's a post that just says hi, because right now we have so much access to things. Like, you don't physically have to go anywhere to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people are more lazy now than ever. To the point to where we don't even have to go to a library, guys. We can go on our phones and pull things up And we live in a time where people don't even want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a post. You can get a page or whatever on social media and flood a post every day of saying something, giving a word, whether it's printed, whether you send a video out. You can do something for somebody else. When you go to the drive-thru and go get you some food, this fast food, get out and go in and speak to people. Get, in other words, kind of get out your quote-unquote comfort zone, because comfort is what's hindering a lot of us. Comfort is what's holding a lot of us back from doing the things that we need to do, because we're comfortable doing the things that we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it brings about a selfishness, because now we don't want to let go of that comfort. And so people are not getting things that you could be giving them because you're too comfortable. You're too busy not serving.
Mm-hmm.
When we came into the knowledge of Christ, we ought to serve. Like, you ain't got to go to no pulpit. You ain't got to be on no usher board. You ain't got to be on no finance committee at the church. You ain't got to be on none of that. But you can be in the family of God and tell of his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. That's what he calls us to do. That's what minister means. Serve his people. Drop a word. Drop a word. Make yourself available. Start asking, okay, God, what can I do for someone today? Because we're coming into that time to where we got to know how to communicate with people. And a lot of us have been far removed from it. Communicating with people, probably don't want to be around nobody. We got this notion in our head, everybody crazy. It ain't safe. It ain't this. Who telling you this? But these are the things that we hear, we take in, and we end up saying it again, and we start hearing ourselves say it. And therefore, we subconsciously start doing things that line up with that we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up in a place, and you're like, how did I get here? Oh, my God. Like, I ain't never been like this. Why am I like this? Because, first of all, you want God in them lips. You want God in your ears. You weren't guarding your eyes. You left yourself open to some things. So every day, it's a reset. Every day that God gives us, it's a reset, because it's a brand new day. It ain't a continuation of yesterday. It's a brand new day. Brand new moment. Brand new opportunities. He said the dew is new every morning. Every morning. Mercies are new. Every morning. And the dew that's on the grass, it's just like the grass be getting watered. Think about this. Might have a hot day, but I guarantee you at that morning, it's going to be some dew on that lawn. That lawn going to get a little water.
Mm-hmm.
God takes care of everything that he created. We don't take care of what he's created. We too busy trying to take over. We too busy caught up in what they say, what they doing, how they doing it. How long they in it? What's new? What's next? We've become the followers. We've become followers, and we're not leaders in the body of Christ. And that's sad to me. It really hurts me to hear people talk as if God ain't God. Move as if God ain't God. Live as if God ain't God. It saddens me. But they got all the latest stuff. And all this stuff gonna be here when they gone. And the greatest thing you could have captured when you was here, you chose to leave it standing at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Knock. Make Jesus Lord. Get out your... Check yourself daily, guys. We got to check ourselves daily, man. We really do. We really do. Because we're going to be checking up out of here. And we ain't leaving no work undone. I ain't leaving no meat on the bone.
Mm-hmm.
It's God over everything. And that's just how I am. When they cut the phones off today, I don't care. I don't need no phone. I don't need no internet. I don't need to be distracted. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
I can entertain myself.
With good stuff.
Yeah, I don't need all this. You know, and we're caught up. People have nervous breakdown because they can't get online. Kids pitching whole fits because their parents taking phones from them and devices. There will be no other gods before me. There'll be no other gods before me. And that's just what it is. Whether people want to call it what it is or not, doesn't change it being what it is.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people make their phone their God.
Mm-hmm.
They check it first thing in the morning. They seek it all throughout the day. When they're looking for answers, they go on it.
Mm-hmm. Period. I mean, it's a good phone. I mean, you can't eat without it. You can't shower without it. You got to be out there cutting yard with their phone.
Driving with it. We see it all the time.
Yeah, drive with it. Everywhere with your phone, like people would turn around, they drove about an hour. They got to turn back around. I left my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I left my phone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we had this same energy. When it came down to being honest with people that you claim to love, you see people, God showing you different things about people that you ain't even prayed for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you done had a conversation about them, though. You definitely done talked about them, but you ain't prayed for them. You ain't asked God to check you first. We always got to be checking ourselves and asking the Holy Spirit, man, like, what should I do concerning this?
Mm-hmm.
We got to check in with him first at all times. Amen. But that's all I got. We're going to go on and answer these calls. And we're going to get y'all in and we're going to get y'all out. And we're going to start here. 240-482. Yellow.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi. Sorry. This is Valerie from North Carolina. How are you?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting you guys to call on me.
Well, I say, Lord, I say you better start expecting me. You gotta start expecting, Valerie. Let's start right now.
Mm-hmm.
Expect to be first. Expect to be called on. Expect to be needed. Absolutely. Expect to be wanted. Expect it. But wanting to do and be in position to please God. Like, if God is positioning you to do anything and he's telling you to do certain things, you got to have an expectation. And even when you're praying, you got to have an expectation. We have to have an expectation and expect it in to it. And you should expect. That's why you was pressed first, because you wasn't first. The Lord told me to hit you. You was actually last on the list.
Absolutely. That's what I didn't think. I was just surprised.
Yeah, and that's why he's saying it's not about what you're thinking. It's about being in position.
Mm-hmm.
Our expectations create limitations. That's why when Jesus was in the garden, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," because the flesh and what he thought at that moment was going to put a limitation. What he, because his flesh didn't want to do that. His flesh was expecting God to just go head on and go on and please it. But no, not my will, but thine will be done, because I'm in the place where God sent me. And it's the spirit man speaking. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I heard what God said. I'm going to trust God all the way. I mean, expect to leave your job and be financially free. I don't care what people say and what the numbers say based off of history. It ain't your story, that's his story.
Mm-hmm.
Your book is still being written, darling. You got miracles that haven't been performed in your life yet. You got blessings you haven't seen yet in your life. But the expectation, so when they come, it's not a shock to you. It's gratitude. It's an appreciation. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Because he's faithful. He honors his word. So I expect it. I still expect for us as believers to be debt free financially to this world.
Mm-hmm.
Debt free. We don't owe this world none of his money. None of it. Debt free. I'm believing God for that. Because it ain't in my power to do. It's in his word. He said, give, and it shall be given. That's why we really have to be in the heart of giving, 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 giving. Satan wants you to be, he wants you to shut yourself out from this world, because you got so much to offer to the people in this world that's going to change their lives. So he want to keep you quiet. He want to keep you in the corner. He want to keep you comfortable and focus on you and not have an expectation of the things that God put inside of you to do that's greater beyond yourself.
Wow.
That's it. But we thank God for Valerie tonight, Lord. We just thank you for the abundance and the like overjoyed, like being like overjoyed, like leaping for joy. Like really like dancing, like an uncontrollable like excitement. Joy that just fills you like blood running through your veins, like cold water just going through you, just that the presence of God stuck on you and glowing through you to where you can literally like walk on hot ground and not be consumed. You can walk on fire and not be consumed. You can walk into the fire and it not take you out. That's the type of elevation. Yes, that you can see in your life by having an expectation for it, Valerie.
Amen.
So the Lord says, expect me to do the unexpected. Because we have to expect it's a fight. The part of you don't want to expect it because you look at it like, it ain't never happened. This ain't never done for me. Like, this new, how am I really supposed to feel? How am I supposed to look at something? If it happened, it happened. If it don't, no. That's not the attitude we're supposed to have. If God said this, that's the way you're supposed to be thinking. If he says that you are a joint heir to the kingdom of God, meaning that you have access to heavenly things that we could pull down from heaven and make available here in the earth, that's what he says I should be believing. That's what I should be believing. I shouldn't be over here studying psycho. The information is good, but my dependency, my independence shouldn't be in it. I can have knowledge of these things for whatever reason. So God can laugh at stuff and look at it and laugh. And be like, yeah, you had a 229 credit score. Look what I did. You had 29 cents in your bank account and look what I did. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. He is the provision. He's the provider. He's the way. And the more we understand that, the more we stand with him. It's not about, I can't stress it enough in this season that God is really breaking that chain from religion and from tradition. And from those that, the misconception of what people think church is. God is revealing him. You were baptized, if you've been baptized, in the name of Jesus. You born again by his spirit. It's not because we joined this ministry over here and got a membership number and made a confession of faith and then leave and go out and live a reckless life.
Well, you know, I accepted Jesus when I was 6.
But you lived to 66. And the 60 of them years, you did nothing concerning Christ. Yeah, you served him with your lips, but your life shows you where your heart is, definitely, because that's the fruit. That's the fruit. And God got a lot of fruit for you, Valerie. God got a lot of fruit for you. So he says, yeah, expect it. Get your expectation up. You know, they say get your weight up. Get your expectation up. They say get your chochos up, get your expectation up. Because you are the head, not the tail. When you're walking with the Spirit of God on you, he is first.
Mm-hmm.
And when you represent him, guess what? You become first by default.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the benefit package. We got to know our benefits of the Father. They come from the Father. We got to know our benefits. We should know our benefits at our job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got so-and-so days off every year. Okay, y'all put this together right here. We got bonus coming up. You know, if I do these right here, I can get this. Back. So we looking at our benefits. Okay, this is my co-pay for this. We looking at the benefit package. But when it comes down, if the world copies, but basically uses what God has provided. The world is disciplined. Satan ain't down here all out of order. He's disciplined. He confuses you, but he's organizing his attacks.
Mm-hmm.
This folk is organized. He knows what sowing and reaping is.
Yeah.
He he know how to put a plan together, a project plan, and step up the task on the milestones and the start dates and the due dates and the finish dates. He know how to do all of that. But because everything that's been created, God created for good. Satan just wants to come in and use it all wrong. He wants to use it opposite of what God made it for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you trying? You want to get him to heaven? You kick me out. Well, I'm going to see how many I get to go to hell too then.
Mm-hmm. He got access. Because my sheep know my voice. You can do what you do. Those that right. know me. They know me. They don't walk in fear. They don't do this. They walk in pure wisdom. They walk in gratefulness. They walk in joy. They walk in peace, love, and full awareness of what's going on. Just because I look like I ain't paying attention don't mean I ain't.
Mm-hmm.
I see you. Because you look at a rabbit head on, his eyes on the side of his head, right? You don't know what he looking at. But he got a 360 right. view.
Yep.
But you see that snake, them eyes right there on the top, you know exactly what he's looking at. Period.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can see the predator, I know where he's positioned. I know the stairway motor. I know what measures to take to get rid of it. And that's all the Holy Spirit does for us, Valerie. Makes things known.
Yeah.
And tonight, God wants you to know, just wants you to know, get your expectations up.
Mm-hmm.
Say,
I received that.
How bad you want it? Do you really believe it's true? Do you believe it's possible? That's it. It ain't a matter if God can or not. It's all a matter of do we believe it.
Wow. Yeah. I definitely need some work in that department. I received that word, definitely.
Amen. Amen. We all do. We all do. And, you stay connected because, I mean, it's heavy on you. It's like really, really heavy. Yeah. It's like something like literally pop. Cause that's how it is with me and Tanisha. Like it's just we're right there with.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get there, you gotta keep believing more.
Right.
You can't get tired. You can't get angry. You can't allow frustration to come in and take over. Like you can have all these emotions, but at the same time, you got to tell them emotions what to get off it. They don't run nothing.
Yeah.
They don't run nothing but your flesh and your high blood and your pressure up.
Mhm.
That's it. Your emotions are running you to eating. Your emotions are running you to bad behavior. Your emotions are running you to drugs. Your emotions are running you to doing whatever. Being locked up, emotions run you to the grave.
That's true. Wow.
And this is the season where all believers really got to check their feelings. Because a lot of us are connected to things because we feel a certain way about it. And we're not connected to it because God said to be.
Wow.
And that's it. That's what I got, Valerie. That's what I got. We got to see what Tanisha got now.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Valerie, Lord. We thank you for the transformation. It's like I see, Valerie, you're like, the things that you've dealt with that have been painful, that have been frustrating, I see God, like, transforming it for your good. Kind of like Joseph's situation, how everything that he went through set him up to be number two in charge of all of Egypt, which was a very powerful nation, very powerful land, and also able to save his family, save the Egyptians. And also that was a setup even for the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, they took all the riches, but those were riches that they got because of Joseph saving them in the first place. But I really see God transforming things and doing it, orchestrating it to a point where you will be grateful for the stuff that you've experienced that has been painful and that has been frustrating. Because when you're going through things that are painful and frustrating, you just want God to take it away. You're just like, take it, get me out of here. You know, we have to mature where we're saying, okay, Lord, if this is where I have to be, teach me how to overcome. Maturity is what brings that type of prayer in. But at first when we're dealing with it, we just want out. We're like, I don't want to be here. I don't like it. I don't like how I'm feeling about it. I don't like what's going on. I don't like how it's affecting me, or so it seems to be affecting me. Get me out. And then when we're still in, we're like, okay, teach me how to deal. Teach me how to overcome. Teach me how to cope. Teach me how to see beyond it. Like, let it transform. Let it do what it does. But God is transforming all that to where you're going to be grateful. That's when you get on the other side and you see what it is. That's what the prayer changes to. First it's get me out of here, then it's teach me how to overcome, then it's gratitude. I wouldn't be the Valerie that I am had I not been through that. I wouldn't be able to read people the way I read them had I not experienced that. I wouldn't know God in a form, in a way that I know him, to be able to encourage you had I not went through that. And this is where this is what you're coming into, that gratitude, because he's transforming all of it, transformation. Mm-hmm. So changing it from one look to a whole nother look, like you're viewing it one way and it transforms into something else. That's what he's doing. He's transforming it. Just like you could take flour, water, sugar, baking soda, whatever, all the stuff is all ingredients. You mix it up and bake it, and it transforms into a cake. But if you eat all the stuff by itself, it's pretty gross. Truth be told, cake ingredients are nasty by itself, except for the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
When we put them all together and bake it, put some heat on it, right, it transforms it into a cake. And that's what it's been ingredients. It's like the things you've gone through they're ingredients. Then you went under the heat, because that's what it feels like when you're going through something. It feels like you in the flame.
Yeah.
You're on the barbecue pit. You on the Barbie. You in the rotisserie. You know, you got some heat to it. But it's transforming. Now you're going to see what it is. Because what it looked like is not what it is. That's just what it looked like. Then your feelings will always confirm what it looks like. Yeah, they lied on you. They did this, that, and the other. Or they whipped you off, or that's supposed to be your opportunity. Or, oh, that's a missed thing, or this, that, and the other. Like, you'll see it, and then your feelings will try to confirm that and get you in agreement. But God is going to show you, no, that was the ingredients and the heat. Now I'm going to show you what it is. And you'll be grateful. Say, oh, man, I'm so glad I went through that. I'm glad that person lied on my name. I'm glad I saw that. I'm glad I experienced that, because had I not, I wouldn't be who I am. Mm-hmm. And who you are is what's necessary for what's to come. God is always ahead. He's not behind. He's ahead of us. He knows the Valerie that's needed for 2025.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the Valerie that's needed for the rest of 2024, and he knew what it was going to take to get you there. Sometimes we'd be like, for what? But he knows what it takes, because he is the creator. He made you. He knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb, which means that you existed before you came here into the earth. He already had a plan and a purpose for you before you came here. You had a plan and a purpose when he thought of you. Because you started as a thought, then you manifested, then you were placed here. You're a spirit that's housed in a body.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are is the spirit. When God created your spirit, he already knew the plans and purpose he had for you. He already knew what type of things you need to overcome in your flesh so that your spirit of who you are, the essence of who you are, who he created you to be, to come forth. Because we all are battling something in our flesh. Like people always, you're the devil. Like I always say this now. Some people ain't fighting demons. They fighting DNA. So he knows what's going to take for some of them, that DNA that you're fighting to die.
Absolutely.
To yield to where it says, you know what, it waves the white flag, I give up. It's us against us a lot of times. We fighting us. What comes natural, and then we feel like, well, that's who I am because it comes natural. It comes natural because it's in your DNA. Something comes natural to you that you ain't never even done before. Why? Because it's in the blood. Because the blood speaks. Mm-hmm. When the story of Cain and Abel, how did God, no, I mean, he's a knower of all things, but he told Cain, your blood is blood crying out. The blood speaks. Yeah. The blood speaks. So you'll be feeling some sort of way because that DNA is speaking. Something that your grandfather done did, or your grandma, or your great aunt, or something from way back is speaking. It's in the blood. That's why in the Old Testament, God would look harsh because people would sin and mess up, and God would be like, kill the whole family. Why? Because now the DNA is corrupted. The ground is corrupted. So now more people that come out of that ground, of that DNA, out of that lineage, now they prone to certain things. So he was wiping them out completely. Some people, based on some sins. People say, God was so harsh. No, he know how things work. But thank God now us that are under the grace in the New Testament, we have Jesus to cleanse us. We can have a blood transfusion, but we still got to do our part. But God knows what it takes for even what comes natural to kill it. So that the Valerie that he knew before he formed you in your mother's womb, that's who you really are, can come forth. That's part of our walk. That's why we walk out our salvation. We're running our race because we're shedding all the things, the stuff in our blood, the experiences, the expectations, the views that we have, the way the world has molded us. We're shedding all that to become who we've always been from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows the experiences that it's going to take so that we can just be who we were always created to be. That's the key. That's life, is becoming who you were already supposed to be in the first place,
mm-hmm.
outside of all the other stuff.
Amen. Wow.
That's who you are, the real you, exactly, the real you, not the perceived you. You know, you have an idea when you were a kid of who you're going to be in your life and all this other kind of stuff. Then your mama tell you and your grandma and people that have influence over you, their experiences or what other people experience. And there's all these things that are shaping and molding and shaping and molding and shaping and molding. And God is working against those things to break, so that you can be who you have always been. You discover you. You've always been that. You just discovering you through Christ, because your identity is found in him. So you're coming into a season of transformation where you're going to say, I thank you, Lord. I wouldn't have thanked you then. I was just trying to get out of it. And then I was like, okay, if this is what it is, help me to deal. And then it's going to be thank you, because now I see what you did. Now I see what that did. Now I understand. Just like when people come against you, something that God has taught me, the solution to people who come against you is the people who come against you. The seeds are the solution. When they sowing those bad seeds against you, the seeds are the solution. Because they will reap a harvest. Period.
Mm-hmm.
They already took care of them. You'll be like, God, deal with them, deal with them. The harvest will deal with them. He already has controls in place to deal with that. Where they deal with them. If people don't do things to you, they do it to themselves. And when you're serving God, he protects you. So the weapons are going to form, and they might feel like they prosper, but they're not going to prosper. Period. But the seeds will. Weapons formed against the children of God don't prosper, but the seeds that the person sowed when they tried to form that weapon against the children of God will prosper, because they will spring forth a harvest, because the word of God says don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that man alone will he reap. So you're coming into a transformation. You're going to be very grateful. Like Tara said, you're going to be dancing around like this, like, oh my God, I see it now. I see it. I see what you spared me from. I see where if I took this path, how that wouldn't have panned out this way. I see that this person, you know, I was dealing with this person. I thought this was it, and it wasn't it. And everything is all going to make sense. And you're going to be grateful. So, Lord, we thank you for Valerie, Father God. We thank you for the transformation. We thank you for her coming into that season of her having full understanding of the experiences and the things that she has gone through and how it has helped her in every area. Even when it doesn't feel like it. When you're like, well, how could something that caused me anxiety help me? It did. Well, how could something that caused me tears help me? It did. How could something that caused me sleepless nights help me? It did. Well, she would see past the effects that were in the body and be able to see the effects that were in the spirit. And see the shedding and the dying of flesh. The dying of the flesh, so that who she is shines through. Who she is stronger than that flesh. Now she knows now that says that, oh, okay, I can overcome that. I went through this and the other. You can't touch me. I'd have been through the cold, raked over the cold. I'd have been tossed under the bus. I'd have been lied on. I'd have been this and the other. You can't hurt me. Because I've been there, I've experienced that, and I see how God did me. I see how God was there for me. I see how he ministered to me. I see how he poured into me. I see how he sent people to give me an encouraging word. So what you talking about ain't doing nothing. I done been there, done that. Imagine somebody coming for Joseph. That man was in prison for no reason. Locked up in shackles and forgotten about. Couldn't nobody come to him with nothing after that. After you experience something like that, and if God takes you out and elevates you above anything that a person could experience when you surpass what you think. Imagine what he was thinking while he was in prison. Like, dang, I could have been this, that, and the other. I could have been successful in my career. I could have been this. But I'm sitting here stuck in prison. And he surpassed everybody. Wasn't none of them people that came against him ever going to be second in command, period. So any right. expectation that he had, he surpassed it when God put him second in command. When he saved his lineage, when he saved his family, when he saved a whole nation. That's above what he could have been lamenting about, what he lost on. And you're going to see that opportunities and things that look like you lost on, and when God puts you in a position that's going to surpass that, you're going to be like, oh, my God. I was cool being on the third level, and he takes you to the 75th. You crying about the third level. I missed out on the third level. Now God's going to take you to the 76th. You like, well, I would have never thought to be here. I was cool with the third. This is the type of what you're going to see, like how the elevation is. Like you're going to bypass people. Just like how he had Terrence get you first. Even though you was last, so it looked like you were last, but you were not. So sometimes it looks like your position is low, but God, just like that, a blink of an eye, the blow of a breath, the rising of a sun, just like that, you surpass everybody. Just like that. You wake up and now you're on top, but you went to sleep on the bottom, and so it looked. One day Saul chasing you, the next day he's falling on his own sword, and now you in charge. Even though you were given the promise. Imagine David, given the promise of king as a child. Then the king, who he loved. David loved Saul. Chasing after him, coming for his life. And just like that, Saul died and David was slipped where he was always going to be in the first place. He was born to be the king. He was gone. God already had a plan for him to be the king before he even came and became the son of Jesse, because we don't know who his mama was. But he was already going to be the king.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to go through a series of events to get there, to be who he already was going to be in the first place. He already was going to be where the Son of God, when he came, called the Son of David. That already was in place. So just embrace it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it's all working for your good, all of it. And when you see what God has done, you're going to be so grateful for all of it. You're going to literally count it all joy. All of it, not just some of it. All of it. Lord, we thank you for Valerie, Father God. We thank you for the transformation. We thank you for her having the knowledge. We thank you for the scales even coming off, for the situations and the things that have appeared to be destructive or time suck. So sometimes we say, oh, dealing with that was a waste of time. It's a lot. It's a lot. Help her to see things for what they are and what they have done in her life for her good that will bring you glory. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all so much. I feel very encouraged. God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you too, Valerie. All right, let's get to our next caller here. We're going to go to 682-738. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, this is LaShawn. How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, LaShawn, how are you? We were just talking about you. We were just talking about you. I want to say
Yeah, y'all came across my mind, too.
Yeah, I'm glad that you called in. Yeah, we were just talking about you. Well, let's pray. I'm going to start you off tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for LaShawn. Father God, we thank you for even her seeing things. Like I just gave Valerie the word about the scales falling off and seeing things for what they really are, even situations that don't look like they're the best situation. That's what I'm seeing for you, LaShawn, where the scales are falling off and you're going to see things for what they really are. Because sometimes things look like they're bad. They really do. And they're not bad. I remember in seventh grade, I had this professor. She was my English teacher, but she was a professor or a doctor. We called her Dr. Riley. That was her name. And I would turn in my work assignments, and she always gave me bad grades every single time. And it looked bad. People tend to, like, if they don't know something, they tend to make the reason. Like, they make it up in their head. So I made it up in my head that Dr. Riley hated me for whatever reason. I just didn't know what the reason is. I was like, I don't know why this lady hates me, but she does. She always gives me bad grades, even though I know my stuff is better than everybody else's. But yet here she is picking on me, and it really looked bad. Like, I was really, like, upset as in the seventh grade. I think I was 12 or 13. And so I decided one day I was going to go ahead and confront her because I was sick of her. I'm like, I'm not doing nothing wrong. I'm turning in all my assignments, all that. So I asked her if I could talk to her after class, and she was like, yes, that's fine. And I confronted her about her giving me bad grades and picking on me. And she said, I don't give you bad grades because I'm picking on you. I give you bad grades because you're not doing your best. She was like, I know you're doing your assignments like the day before they're due. And she was like, and I admit that what you're doing the day before it's due is better than what the other students are doing who take the full 2 weeks to do the assignment. She was like, but it's not about you being better than anybody else. It's being the best you. And I know this ain't your best. So, yeah, is your best great? I mean, is your laziness great? Yes, but it's not your best. So I want you to, like, really give it your all, and that's why I'm giving you the bad grades, because I want you to be the best you. And it totally changed my perspective. The scales came off. So here I was thinking this lady was picking on me for whatever reason, but really what she was trying to do was make me great. She was trying to pull greatness out of me because she, like, you're not great being better than somebody else. You're great being reaching your full potential. So imagine how much greater you're going to be at your full potential, but I don't want you to be competing with nobody. Because she's like, again, your laziness is better than people's full. Like, they're putting their all into the blood, sweat, and tears, and you're just writing it up the day before and surpassing them leaps and bounds. She's like, but I want you to get to the point where you're doing the best that you can do. It don't matter what nobody else is doing. It ain't no competition. It's you against you, basically. And so I see, LaShawn, God showing you situations where it looks like it's bad. Because that looked bad to me. But it wasn't. This lady was doing this for my own good, and I never forgot it. I never forgot that. And I was not a believer then. I wasn't raised in church or anything. But that lesson, I still carry it. And it, like, it became a life thing for me, what she did in that conversation and me coming to the realization of what was really going on. Like, even when I worked, I've always worked for the most part in the corporate sector. And I've always excelled at every job. And when people would ask me why, I said, because my name is attached to this. I don't, you know, being honest, I don't care about your company's name. I care about my name. So if I'm attaching my name to it, you benefit by default because I'm only going to do things out of excellence. I'm only going to do things that are like I'm doing my best. And I know even with myself, it don't take a lot of effort a lot of times, but I'm still going to give you, I'm going to deliver quality because my name is attached to it. And again, you just benefit by default because I'm attached to your company. So I've always taken that excellence with me. And so God's going to show you, LaShawn, situations that look like they're not for you. It even look like they're coming against you, and they're not. It's to pull something out of you. See, I'm glad I had the conversation with Dr. Rodney because that's not what I was getting from it. It wasn't giving pulling excellence. It was giving attack, right? It was giving I don't like you or I'm against you for whatever reason. Like I said, I'm trying to figure out, like, did I say something? Like, what was causing this lady to come against me because I ain't done nothing to her and I'm new to the school. I'm new to the grade. I'm, you know, seventh grade back then was junior high, was the first year of junior high. So I'm new to even junior high and this lady is just attacking me. But no, she saw something in me. She really did. And I worked very hard in her class after that and I got good grades because she knew. And it's funny because even when I tried to kind of backslide and being lazy, she always knew it. And that grade would reflect it. She wasn't as harsh because she like, for you to have done that, you must have had a lot going on, but you ain't pulling no A, you're going to get this here C or this B minus because I know you did this last night. So that's what I see with you. God's going to pull the scales off so you can see situations that look like they're bad and you're going to see the good. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I receive it. I receive it.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Terrence said he don't have anything. But
Well, all right. It's all right. It's good to come in agreement. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. You're going to see it for what it is.
Yeah.
And it's a lesson, you know, because sometimes we get defensive immediately when it's like, it feels like something's coming against you, but God will show you like, oh no, that's working for you. That's not coming against you. And then you're like, oh.
Right. That's true.
And then the next time something comes up, you take a different approach the way you look at it. It definitely changes your approach. That changed my approach at 12 years old where I was like, okay, let me find out. Let me seek like knowledge versus what I see.
Mm-hmm.
What you see is information, but
it's
knowledge is the understanding. Now I have the understanding of what's going on. That's what I always have from 12. That's what it was. Understanding. I was seeking understanding at 12, not even knowing scripture, not even knowing God. But he gave me a thirst for understanding at 12 because of that situation with Dr. Riley. Because I got it all the way wrong, because I did not understand what she was doing. I had knowledge of what she was doing, but I didn't have the understanding of what she was doing. So from there, it changed how I would even approach things. Like, okay, let me try to understand it. Even the way I ask questions with people, I'm always seeking not just the knowledge, but I'm trying to seek an understanding, because understanding tells you so much more than what the knowledge would tell you. Like the word says, above all things, seek an understanding. Because now you know the heart of it, the base of it, the core, what's the foundation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes things will, you know, really look bad. It really has a good foundation of coming from a good place, but the execution just not the best. or some people are just struggling
right.
and they don't know how to, you know, you might have caught them on a bad day or whatever, but they don't mean no harm. They just don't have a control over how they deal with stress or pressure or whatever. But you're going to see it. You're going to see, you're going to have full understanding of what really goes on. Sometimes it is what it looks like. Sometimes somebody really is coming against you. Like, that's just what it is. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes they have erroneous information. Sometimes somebody lied to them, or sometimes they really think that they're in the right here, and they just, they're not. And then you just kind of have a conversation, or God will just download some knowledge to them and understanding, and then they pivot. And you like, are they being fake, or what's going on? And God has to explain to you, no, they thought they were right, and then I got them together, so now that's what you're seeing. Because they're going on some information, and now I told them it's wrong information, and so now they're going by the right information. So all those different situations, you're going to see them. Because sometimes, like, for me too, with people, when they're one way and then they switch up, I'm like, what's happening? Like, what's this switch up about? Is it fake or like what? And God will show me when it's fake and when it's not fake. Like, I sense it immediately now.
Mm-hmm.
From people. So you're just going to see it now. You're going
right.
to see it.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you. And I receive it, as I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It's in support of your growth. It's a part
mm-hmm.
of your growth. In Christ, that's what it is. It's part
Absolutely.
Of y'all. It's in the learning. We all learning. Do we get it right all the time? No. But
no.
it's a part of the growth.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's it. It's part of the growth. And that's the key.
Yes.
And even getting it wrong, ministers, because when you mentor and minister to people, you let them know, like, I don't always get it right. You know, I get things wrong. People need to know that. That we're not perfect
mm-hmm.
people. We're all striving and trying,
yes.
and yeah, we're going to get it wrong sometimes. Sometimes we're going to be, you know, basing it on old feelings or past experiences and all that, but we're all overcoming. So it's important for us to even have that honesty with people who are going through their journey and walk too. Like, you ain't going to always get it right, but you'll get it together. That's the key.
Right.
And then when you are wrong,
Lord, I'll be praying. Yes, I'll be praying. Lord, help me.
So.
Right. Right. Well, I'll be telling the Lord to help me. Help me. Y'all pray for me. Because right
mm-hmm.
now, I ain't feeling it. I'm telling you. I let them know I ain't feeling it. Pray for
mm-hmm.
me. So. Amen to that. Well, I'm going to let you go ahead and go to the other callers. God bless you. And always, I will be keeping y'all in my prayers.
Thank you. We will be doing the same.
Amen.
All right.
All right. Good night.
And Terry will be over there ready to go to sleep. Terry will be ready to sit down.
You know your brother.
Yes. Oh, I understand. Trust me. I understand. I know. All right. Y'all have a blessed week. God
All right.
bless you.
God bless you.
All right.
Wait, you over there nodding. Next call is 754-255. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, guys. This is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, Donald and
What's
Tanya.
Up?
How are you tonight?
Doing good. We're doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Wonderful.
But that woke Terrence up. We gave him a little second win.
There you go.
This is over here looking like you're a little tired.
Yeah, you got keep that same energy, parents. Keep that same energy you had in the beginning of the show.
You know, my wife was in my back right then, man. She just threw me on out here. Look at
because the truth makes you free. I'm just saying.
I was saying, no, when you be over there tired, don't do it. Yeah, hey, I ain't going to say no when she be in here, though, but I ain't going to get on it.
Yes, it's how
I'm
going to talk.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Hey, that's why you guys are a team.
Yes, man. See, I'm over here. I need my arms held up.
Mm-hmm.
She just looked at the bad boy. What you want me to do with them?
No, I held them up.
What you got your arms like this for? Oh my goodness. Let's get it in. Lord, we thank you for Donald and Tanya, Father God. We thank you for their kingship, kingness. And God is making you guys sharp king in the things of ministry and really truly understanding how ministry flows the God way. Not the religious way, not the traditional way, not the perceived way based off of ways that we've been taught, you know, because with God, it's about relationship. And that's the one thing Jesus shared when he came, with the relationship. He was about his Father's business.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gave his life, you know, we became joint heirs. We became sons and daughters of the Most High God. Because of the blood of Jesus, he sees no blemish, no sin on us, man, because of the blood. So we have access, but most of us don't tap into it. We've been steered off track. It's like, if you're familiar with weapons, you know, if you guys ever shot or anything like that, I'm a pretty good shot. I don't say that to boast. I'm just telling the truth. But when your alignment is off, you could be in the same positions, everything, but when your sight is off, the shot gonna be off. Everything has to be lined up, and the only way that we can be lined up and on point with God is to hear from the Spirit of God. And true enough, God uses the men and women of God that yield to his Spirit to share things with us, but you're not listening for Terrence. You're listening for the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Spirit of God is always going to have us on target, but religious ways and traditions will have us following men. It'll have us doing things that men thought of that ain't got nothing to do. We're working out our salvation. And it's those things that God is sifting out, like you taking a sifter through that sand and you pulling out all them rocks and anything, you know, you want the sand to be pure sand. And that's what God is doing in the church, like the synagogue. Like he's whipping. He says that whip is going through, and it's going through from the inside out because the light bulb is coming on with people. God is going to show us how he wants us to minister to his people.
Mm-hmm.
Those people don't belong to Pastor Jones. If it's a Pastor Jones, I'm just using that as a name, as a reference, but no, man, Pastor Jones ain't died on nobody's cross, man. If anything, I need to be praying more for Pastor Jones than anybody.
Mm.
If he's in a leadership position as a watchman over souls, as an under-shepherd, you know, we're supposed to be leading in that capacity. Getting people prepped for heaven. We getting prepared to go to heaven, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is what that's about. But for some reason, we didn't got stuck in the airport and it made it home. We didn't got comfortable because they had a couple of restaurants over there, some watering holes. You know, go and get you some beverages and, you know, you got your little area where you can shop, get some little clothes and stuff like that. We got comfortable. And, man, we forgot we got a flight that we got to get on. And that's what tradition has done. And that's why God is cleaning it. And he's using your time to do that, man, because he put y'all together for not just for yourselves, you know. Yeah, you love your wife. Yeah, she loves her husband. But more importantly, y'all both love God first. And because y'all love him first and put him first, he's going to position you to be first. The first to do this, man. Donald Tang, the first one that said that, I remember. Donald Tang was the first one to start doing that, I remember. But you're going to set the trend by the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the move of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's not going to be popular. I don't want to be popular. I want to be hated by the world just like Jesus. That means I'm doing it right. I don't need my family member popping me on my back just because we related. If you ain't walking with Jesus, you lost.
Mm.
Okay, you got that bloodline like that? I don't. Because they hard beat don't make mine beat. Just because they have a similar name don't make me feel any type of way. It's not doing nothing for me. It's not doing nothing for me. We put a lot of emphasis on family and not the true family. I do anything for my children. You're laughing on? You go out there and put yourself in harm's way for them too, huh? And they all in the wrong, huh? I do. Look, nobody gonna talk bad to nobody to wear my name. But the folk wearing your name, the one around there causing all the problems. You're willing to die for flesh, but not willing to die for the spirit. And this is what God is definitely going to use y'all for, like cracking that egg and watching it just ooze out. Nothing but pure truth. Just oozing out. And you ain't going to be, you can't stop it. The Lord is going to make it so for y'all to where people are going to start removing themselves from you guys. Because you can't help but talk about the goodness of the Lord. You can't help but give people that opportunity, because that's what it's about. When they come in contact with Donald and Tanya, they're coming in contact with an opportunity to meet Jesus. That's what it's supposed to be about. They're either going to be drawn to him, or they're going to run from him. And it ain't for you to take it personal. It's how God made you and what he assigned for y'all to do. And that's all I got.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for Donald and Tanya, Father God. We thank you for the rising, for the elevation. I see you elevating, both of you elevating into position, and God using you in leadership in unorthodox ways. You know, we think of leaders in different ways, right? Like community leaders or presidents or whatever the case may be. But I see God rising you, both of you, into leadership in an unorthodox way. So I don't know
that could be anything. Who knows how he's going to do it? He could do it through social media or through, you know, just getting the word out of your community. I mean, it's all sorts of ways that God can elevate you, but that's what I'm seeing, God elevating you in unorthodox ways. So it's not like the traditional way or the way that people, because we're in systems, right? Everything is systems, and systems have like steps, like step one, do this, step two, do that, and all these different methods and all this stuff. But God's going to like blow all those out the water, even in the end times that we are currently in. We're in the end of the end times. How even the people that he's elevating aren't like traditional people. Like most of us didn't go to seminary and all that kind of stuff, but God is elevating us, and God is putting us in position to be used because we're yielded to him and we speak the truth. We're not here for attention or likes or all this kind of stuff. Like Terrence said, we don't care about not being liked. You know, whatever comes with doing the work and the will of God is just so be it. Because no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and people, you know, putting their mouths and trying to do harm to his prophets and his anointed, they going to deal with him. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's not even a concern. But I see him really elevating you to leadership. So it's not even just elevating you just to elevate you. It's to lead people. And that a certain responsibility comes along with leadership, even a certain scrutiny comes along with leadership that you just have to be, you know, prepared for. But God's going to give you answers. So when people have questions, God's going to give you the grace to deal with people. And there, people tend to be, you know, kind of judgy about certain things. But don't let any of that deter you, because if God placed you there, that's just where you got to be. Whoever don't like it, that's not your problem.
Mm-mm.
Like, and that's what you politely let them know. Sorry you feel that way, but God placed me here. So if you have a problem with that, my suggestion is to take it up with him, because me personally, that's not my problem. And I don't care. So take it up with the Father. Go to him in prayer, fast, whatever you got to do, you know, if you want to expend your energy on that. But while you're wasting your time on that, I'm going to be doing the work of the Lord and praying for you, and hoping that you see things for what they are instead of, you know, seeing things for what you thought they were. Because a lot of people are going to kind of malfunction the way God is doing things in these end times, because he's going to be doing things outside of tradition. And some people are not used to that. They want things to be very structured. They want things to be very predictable and all that kind of stuff. And that's not how God operates. The people he's going to elevate is who he's going to elevate. And the people who are going to lose their standing are the people he's going to elevate. Not anything to do with us and our desires and our wants. This is his church.
Absolutely.
This is his kingdom. We represent him. Ain't got nothing to do with us. We just here to represent and expand before, you know, things really get dicey, and before we're taken away, and before even things get really bad, because people need to be prepared for what's to come. Period. Too many people are sitting comfy cozy, like, I ain't got to worry about no tribulation. Oh, let me hear the sound of a trumpet and be in the air with my dead love. No, you need to be prepared, period. Because when things get funky, you got to know what's going on, instead of now you're questioning everything, because that's what's going to happen. The devil's going to get a lot of believers. So, well, I don't know. I guess they are believers, because when things get funky, they're going to question everything. Maybe it was all a lie. Maybe just saying, now they don't know what's going on, right? Because they've been taught their whole lives about being raptured first. Yeah, they're going to get their feelings, because we have a lot of overly sensitive believers.
Oh.
They're so, like, in their feelings, it's insane. And they're going to, we need strong leaders to tell people, hey, your feelings are your feelings, but facts are facts, and truth is truth. But I need you to put your feelings on and tell them feelings to be quiet or have a seat or whatever you need to tell them to do, and do what God is telling you to do. Because that's why we're in the position that we are now, with this weak Mr. Potato Head Christianity that we're seeing. Because people are letting the world bully them. How do you let a dead world bully you who represent the living God? Like, make it make sense. It's like humans against zombies.
You just don't know. It's like you don't even know what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got something valuable and you don't even know. It's just like you don't know how to use it. You don't know what it brings, the true value of it. So you sit it over here and you throw clothes on top of it.
Right. It'd get beat up left and right by the world without all the power and everything in them to make the change, but they're just bowing down to the world. But Lord, thank you for Donald and Tanya for the strong leadership that's in them, for the elevation, Father God, for them to lead people and to guide people and to give people the truth, not to coddle or try to make people feel good, but to make them be good. Different to feel good and to be good. To be good is to know the truth, because now you're good. If I could teach you how to do something, and now when situation comes up and now you know what to do, now you're good. But I could make you feel good about something, but then when something comes up, a situation, now you're unprepared. How you felt, that don't matter. Like, who cares? I made you feel good, but now you're in a bad position because I was too busy catering to your feelings instead of catering to your needs. And so I thank you, Father God, that's the type of leaders they are. They're going to give people what they need, not cater to feelings, because feelings ain't going to, they come and they go. They're fluid. They're like smoke. Some days are here, they evaporate. Now some new feelings. And as the wind blows, the feelings change. So they're not catering to the feelings like so many leaders we're seeing catering to feelings. They're catering to the need. And they know the need because they're going through you to say, what do these people need? How can I serve them? Not how can they serve me, how can I serve them? So, Lord, we thank you for that. Send people to protect them. Send people to pour into their lives. I thank you, Lord, for the protection over their children and that their children will follow the same footsteps. And I thank you, Lord, for even using them to come up with like a curriculum that parents can use for their children. Yes, a curriculum. Like I see you guys having a curriculum that parents can use to like homeschool their children. So we thank you for that, Lord. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You receive it.
You're welcome. Thank y'all for calling in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we love y'all.
Thank you.
And we're out of time now, so we're going to go ahead and hang it up and let people call back at 8:45, the Randy Show. I don't think he had a show yesterday because I kept calling in and I wasn't getting through, but yeah. But I'm sure he'll be on tonight on Wednesdays. You call in, he gives a message. If you hit one and get in the queue, he'll pray over you. His calling number is 319-527-6737. Call back at 8:45, hit one so that you are in the queue and he can prophesy over you. But we thank you all for calling in. We know that you got what you needed tonight. And until next time, we love you all. Good night.